We are so lucky to have Senator Chuck Schumer, Charles Schumer of New York, Democrat, with us. Chuck, thanks so much for showing up. It's always
great to
see
back.
You.
Try to do it every year.
Yes, you
do. I missed a year. I apologize, but here I am.
It seemed like yesterday.
As God said, as Abraham said to God when he brought his only son to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed, here I am, Lord.
So, oil trains, let's talk about that. I know everybody in the greater northeast quadrant here are concerned about these oil bombs, they're calling them. What are we doing to make sure that
people this has been a crusade of mine because it's brand new. You know, we didn't have these 5 years from now. Maybe two or three oil cars a day would come through our region. And we have one of the most trafficked freight regions in the country. The line that goes, the old New York Central line that goes from Buffalo through Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, here to Albany, and then hooks up and goes down through the Hudson Valley to New York City, is one of the most traveled freight lines in the country. And now it's even more heavily traveled because it's loaded up with the so-called Bakken crude, the oil that's drilled for in North Dakota. And so instead of having three cars a day, we have 300, many more now. And the cars, the oil is a volatile kind of oil, more volatile, more tending to explode than most other kinds of oil. And the cars are old and outdated. They're called DOT-111s, DOT-1232s. And if, God forbid, there's a derailment, there's a huge conflagration, an explosion, particularly damaging in heavily populated areas. And our railroad trains go through heavily populated parts of Erie County, where Buffalo is, Monroe County, Rochester, Onondaga, Syracuse, Oneida, Utica, and of course Schenectady and Albany counties here in the Capital Region. And so we have to do something about this. I've been pushing and pushing and pushing the DOT to come up with regulations. And the federal government, many would say, as designed by the founding fathers, works very slowly. So we first had to get DOT to do it. They have a whole hearing process. Then we had to get OMB to approve it. And then you have to go to every agency and let them approve it. Finally, on Friday, they issued regulations. And I would say it was a good first step, but a lot more needs to be done. They rule the most dangerous cars, the 111s and the 1232s, don't get phased out for 5 to 7 years. That is much too long. We've all seen the explosions in Canada, in Virginia, in West Virginia, all across the country. And fortunately, none of them have been in heavily populated areas, but if you do nothing, sooner or later it'll happen. There are cars that are safe, that if, God forbid, they're derailed and they fall over, there's no explosion. They are somewhat more expensive, but let's face it, the oil companies who actually own the cars, it's not the railroads, the oil companies own the cars, are making a fortune with all this new oil. They can put a little bit aside for safety. So today we're introducing legislation that fills in the significant holes in the rules that were proposed by the Department of Transportation. We phase the cars out, the most dangerous in 2 years and the next most dangerous in 3 years, not 5 to 7. We also, here's an amazing thing, they have lower speed limits in what they call populated areas, but for some reason they use areas that are part of a bill called UASI, the anti-terrorism bill. There are only two in New York State, Buffalo and New York City. So Albany, here where we sit, Syracuse, Utica, Rochester, I've been to these tracks. They go through, there are houses 100 feet away.
Sure.
And they don't slow them down then. So we say any heavily populated area, and we use the density of the population, not some other criteria. And we tighten up a whole lot of other things, and we're going to hopefully pass this as legislation. I'm introducing this today. I thank the DOT for finally putting out regs, and it provides a template. But they're not tough enough. And these, as I said, both the rail companies and the oil companies, their profits are through the roof. They can put a little bit through safety. One final point, Alan. God forbid we don't do this, and there's a major explosion, and you have a large number of deaths, a huge amount of property damage, because these oil explosions are very, very dangerous and very, very combustible. We'll regret that we didn't do it.
Now that you've raised the question of oil companies, I'm fascinated because I keep hearing that the price of a barrel of oil goes down, and yet all of a sudden, I'm paying more at the gas tank. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, some places it's worse. So, an example: at least the price of gasoline has gone down from $4 a gallon to two and change. It is what you'd call inelastic. When the price, the international price of oil goes up, boom, the price at the pump goes up right away. When the international price of oil goes down, it takes forever to go down. It's called sticky. That's a good word for it, and that's what the experts call
it. As in sticking it to the consumer.
Well, that's well done. You can see why Mr. Chartok has gotten where he has. And anyway, so this is a big problem, and it fundamentally is because, you know, our government made some major mistakes by letting the big companies merge. When the price of oil was $10, $12, $15 a barrel, both the Clinton administration and the Bush administration let the big boys merge. Exxon and Mobil, number one and number three, being allowed to merge, that never should have happened. Texaco and Chevron, BP and Amoco, never. And so when you only have four big companies, you don't get any competition. When you had eight or ten, there was competition, and the price wasn't quite as sticky. But it's even worse in other places. You ever have you flown lately?
Yes.
Well, the plane evidently didn't take off too quickly. Tickets on airplanes are higher than ever.
They are. They are.
40% of the cost, they tell us, when the ticket prices were going up because oil prices, fuel prices were going up, they said, well, 40% is fuel.
So that's sticky also, because
that's worse than sticky. That's stuck. And this is terrible. This is just terrible. And we need to do something here. And again, why has it happened? Well, we're letting all the airlines merge. When at least we have a JetBlue and a Southwest, which tend to try and put a little pressure.
Thanks in large part to you, sir.
Well, JetBlue is, not Southwest, although Herb Kelleher was a nice guy, and I did get him to fly to Albany and Buffalo. But I didn't start it. I did sort of help start JetBlue by getting them the slots at Kennedy Airport. So there would be another airline and some competition. But we let the big boys merge. You know, we have Delta and Northwest. We have U.S. Air and American. We have Continental and United. You have three.
So while you're on the subject,
I'd like to go back a little bit to the old trust busting. You can't have little tiny companies in this modern era. Jet plane costs a lot of money, but we shouldn't have three.
Everybody else is running for president. Why aren't you?
I'm happy where I am.
Okay, but
I have a sense of realism.
should Comcast be allowed to get together with Time Warner? We only have a minute for that one.
That's a good one, but I had to recuse myself.
Oh, is that right?
Because little did I know, my brother is a lawyer and was working on the Time Warner side of the case.
Boy. Yeah.
So I had to recuse myself immediately. Okay. So I'm not allowed to comment on that.
Okay. That's a good one you said, but I'm not allowed to comment on that. That's good. That's almost a comment. Chuck Schumer, we love having you here with us, and it's really great. And when we come back, I want to ask you about Hillary and Bernie and all like that.
Okay.